Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the iHealth Channel iHealth Radio with your host, Hurricane H. A new day, new show, awesome topic. It's going to be a topic that's going to combine some of my favorite discussion, you know, items and in a world that I've been residing over the last 30 plus years, which is a stressful world and a world that I've, you know, come to enjoy of wellness and health and happiness and all that stuff. And we're going to combine that today with our guests, because our guests are going to take us into how do we kind of manipulate all that and live a happier life, a well life without too much stress, you know, despite all the conditioning that we get into this particular industry of sales and marketing world. So without any further ado, I have with me Nicole Lani, the founder of Feeling Groovy Consulting. I love that. Feeling Groovy. And we're going to feel groovy today. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Hurricane. I'm super excited to be here. So thank you so much.
Well, you know, it's a pleasure. And again, as I stated, I mean, I come from sales, and I believe you have also, a background in wellness and stuff and kind of and marketing. And so you can combine all this stuff in the work you do, but so we want to go back to the roots here. I mean, sales, marketing, very heavy duty work. I mean, a lot of people cannot really thrive well in that space because it's very stressful. We see it. I mean, we can go to the movies. Whenever you see marketing agencies, they go nuts. I mean, they're working like 24/7. They don't sleep. I mean, it's just too stressful. You talk about sales, the pressure of goals, targets, quotas, and all this stuff. And, you know, quarterly this and the other, and it's just too hyper, right? And there's also the pressures of presenting and being out there and cold calling and soliciting. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. It's definitely a very brutal world if you don't know how to operate with it, right? And so let's talk about your journey and your background first, and then we can ease in into this whole discussion of wellness marketing and how we can help it out, you know, and the folks that are out there. So if you are a professional out there, and by the way, even if you're not in the sales and marketing world, I think, you know, just kind of affect everybody, because if you're working somewhere, you probably are getting stressful somehow, right? So we'll talk about all that. So Nicole, let's hit it with your background. What got you into the journey?
Oh my goodness. Like many people in the wellness world, I started out with my own health journey, and I think that's very typical. I think this happens quite a bit where people, they become doctors or chiropractors or, you know, get into the wellness world, health coaches, because they overcame something. And so I actually, in 2001, I moved into this cute little house in California, didn't know a soul in California, my husband and my two kids and I. And within weeks, I was really sick. So my kids had some different symptoms. My husband had some symptoms, but I was working from home. So I was in a direct sales company, working at home every day, and I became very, very ill. And they couldn't figure out exactly what was wrong with me. Fast forward, took 7 months to figure it out, but I had toxic mold growing in my lungs, so, which is very unusual. And I had a bronchoscopy. They were trying to get this mold out of my lungs. Second bronchoscopy, trying to get the mold out. Third bronchoscopy, and I went into a coma and did not wake up for 4.5 months. So, yeah, the look on your face says it all.
I didn't expect that. I'm sorry.
I know.
You just went 1, 2, 3, and then poof. Well, literally, cold turkey.
4 months.
Oh boy.
Four months.
Well, we're glad that you're here. That's a good news.
I'm so grateful I came back to the world. And so, you know, people ask me all the time, what was it like being in a coma? You know, there's interesting questions that you get, right?
I wonder.
I had a fabulous doctor. And this doctor, when I did wake up, first of all, people were surprised. The longer you're in a coma, the less of a chance you have of waking up. So they were a little surprised when I decided to re-enter this world. And I asked my doctor, like, literally, what do I need to do to live? What does that look like? I had young teenagers at home. I had a family. I knew my life wasn't over here on this planet yet. So what do I need to do to live? And his response at being a doctor was quite remarkable to me. And it left a big footprint in my life. And there's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't remember the words that he said to me. So he literally said,
yes,
the first thing you need is whatever your faith is, He says, whether you pray to God, Jesus, a rock, a cat, I don't care. He says, but whatever your faith is, I need you to magnify that by 10. And when you've done that, I need you to magnify it by 1,000, because you have to believe that you are going to get better. That's the first thing. He said, the second thing is, he says, you need me. And I'm not saying this because I'm cocky. He says, I have gone to so many great lengths praying that you're going to wake up. And he says, I have reached out to so many different people outside of this hospital, because I do believe that I can't get you better in this hospital. We need to look at things outside of this hospital to get you better. And he says, I want you to always remember that you can hire and fire your doctors. And you always want to have doctors that remember that they are practicing medicine. Because those of us that remember that we're practicing will do anything to find the answers, because we are practicing meds. And I was like, whoa, that was kind of a surprise. And then he says, the third thing I think you need is alternative health. I think you need some things that are outside this hospital. And I have some things lined up for you, as long as you're open-minded, to try some different things. And I really do believe it were those different things that helped me restore my health and get me back, you know, my footing back on the ground. And it took a little time. Obviously, it didn't happen overnight. It took a good year before I started feeling, you know, like a person, an everyday person, but baby steps. So I went to a nutritionist. I did some really groundbreaking work back then, with hyperbaric chamber. I did yoga instead of physical therapy. He had me go into acupuncture. Like, I tried all kinds of things that he had me doing. I believe the hyperbaric chamber and the nutritionist were the two things that really made the most impact for me at the time. But here I am. You know, so that was in 2002. It's now, what, 2025? So 23 years ago. I am so fortunate that he was my doctor. And I'm fortunate that I decided to come back and rejoin everybody, because I love being here and I love being able to help people. And of course, that's how my journey started. And of course, you know, it changes and it morphs. And you know, as we talk a little bit today, you'll hear a little bit more about that.
Well, thank you. I mean, for sure. There's a lot there. And I just want to kind of get some more meat out of what you said. Sure. Well, the first thing, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, there's two things. You mentioned you were in direct sales. Now, I know anyone who's been in the sales world, and direct sales is pretty, you know, straightforward. It's a lot of work and you got to like hustle and all that. Now, there's a stress there. But that was not the reason. It seems that you had this mold, you know, situation that's building in the lungs. Now, can you share, like, you know, was there any, you know, I guess, findings as to where that happened? Because at least if someone's listening, like, what can they do to avoid, you know, picking up such a thing? I mean, certainly this is something that if it gets to your lungs, it's over, right? I mean, luckily for you, I mean, we have you back, and, you know, and it took a while, but certainly that's a very difficult. And as you said, you know, the more you're in a coma, for example, the least chances you will go back, you know, to this world. So what can we do, and where is the stuff, you know, available that people can avoid? And hopefully we can, you know, do anything to prevent people from even getting into that situation. And just based on your, I guess, experience and what the doctors have said, where could you possibly have received that, you know, or picked it up, and how do we avoid that?
Well, that's a great question. So when I was going to this doctor, I had moved from Vegas, which was a very dry, hot, dry environment, and moved to California, where there's a lot more moisture. And so the physician's assistant at my doctor's office had finally asked me, she's like, wait, your kids, because I'd been taking my kids to a pediatrician with some of their symptoms. And so she was like, wait, your kids have been sick. And then she was like, whoa, she says, you don't happen to have any mold in your house. And I was so offended. I was like, mold? My house is so clean. And she's like, no, not that kind of mold. And I was like, well, what other kind of mold is there? Like, I had no idea. Like, I was clueless.
Well, I'm thinking the same. So yeah. What kind of mold?
Like, what kind of mold are we talking about? And she's like black mold, toxic mold. I'm like, I don't know what that is. What does it look like? She says, well, you can't see it. And I was like, well, if you can't see it, how do you know if you have it? Right? Like, I was like so naive. And she said, well, you would have to test for it. And she said, do you have any water leaks in your house? And I looked at her like, how did you know? And I said, oh my goodness. So we're in this cute little house, and every morning there's a puddle of water on my bathroom floor, and nobody can figure out where it's coming from. Like the landlord we were renting, we thought we'd rent for a year before we bought and get acclimated, you know, to California. The landlord can't figure it out. The plumbers, she sent two different plumbers, they can't figure it out. Like we're trying to figure out where does this water come from every day. And she said, I really would like you to talk to your landlord and see if she will test for mold. So my landlord was like, yes. I mean, she knew how sick I was. I had this creepy cough, like 24, when I say 24 hours a day, it was 24 hours a day. And my eye looked like it was going to fall out. And it was just a mess. And so she said, well, yeah, let's test for mold. I don't know where it would be coming from, but let's test. Well, they tested my home. And at the time, with the mold remediation company that they called, it was the highest amount of Stachybotrys, which is black mold, which is very toxic to your system, that they had ever seen in a home with that particular company. So here it is invisible. And because I was home all the time, I breathed it in, and somehow or another, it's warm, it's dark, it had a great environment, had food, it was thriving inside of me. And so when they did scans, they realized that I had these masses in my lungs. So that's where they found where it was. And so they were really good. We ended up moving out of the home. They ended up knocking down walls. And in between the two bathrooms, it was so strange because it was actually going underneath the floor. When they took down those walls, they had to wear those hazmat suits. And there was this black mold that was like throughout the walls that had been this leak. It was a small leak that had been going for apparently a very long time. And it would surface underneath my floor. And the floor was porous enough that it was coming up through the floor. So it really wasn't leaking out of the wall. So it was no fault of the landlord. I mean, she felt terrible. Her insurance company got involved in all of that. But we did have to move out of the home. And then when this happens, you actually lose all of your belongings, because mold clings onto anything that's porous. So unless it's a surface that you can, you know, wipe down, like really wipe down, then you can't have it in your home. So it's almost like I've told people, kind of like having a fire without having a fire, because you have to get rid of so many of your belongings because that mold can resurface and cause you health issues. So it was a lot for our family. But thank goodness that physician's assistant was smart enough to go, hey, wait, do you have water leaks? Is there something going on? Is there, you know, she really kind of put those pieces of the puzzle together. And of course, the internet was still, you know, in 2001 was still 2002 was still fairly new. So I'm trying to Google and go into message boards, and I'm finding out that people were like getting really sick from mold. I just never lived in a place where you heard of such a thing. So when you live in like Florida, California, some of those places where there's moisture, you know, mold can definitely happen, especially like in hurricane areas, I found out, and places like that where they come in and all the water goes into your home and they have to do all that, you know, get all the water out of your homes. They can become very toxic, and we just don't know because you can't see it. You can't really smell it. You can't see it. It's airborne. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Airborne, no scent, no nothing. I mean, like, yeah, in my mind, the picture is the mold that we see, like, you know, on a wall, you know, on the surface. That's not it. This is
it's
different.
Not it. It's a black mold that literally it's going through the air. And now there are home testing that you can purchase that are pretty inexpensive. At that time, I felt bad because my landlord paid so much money for this company to come out. And there are testing now where you can order tests, and they're not, you know, they're a couple hundred dollars versus the thousand that, you know, thousands that she spent. So, so you can test for black mold. So a lot of things have happened over 20 years where people can find out, where then it was still kind of like this, kind of a guessing game, really.
Well, thank you. I mean, so I think for our audiences, I mean, listen, yeah, if you live in an area where there's, I guess, humidity and there's moisture, it just pays to maybe do a test and figure
if
this out.
If you're having weird symptoms that just aren't going away, like chronic headaches, coughs, rashes that are surfacing that, you know, come and go, those are some signs that maybe, you know, brain fog. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't remember where I put my pen, not alone a set of car keys. Like, you know, like the brain fog was terrible.
Well, so just curiosity. I mean, if you go to a doctor on your regular checkups, right? I mean, wouldn't they be, or do the blood work, wouldn't that be something that can be detected or no?
Not often.
So it can go years before you even know.
It can go undetected for years. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, folks, I mean, you might want to ask your doctors, you know, hey, do me a favor, double check this, because you never know. I guess I'm going to have to do that myself. You know, I mean,
well, if you're not having symptoms, weird symptoms, you probably haven't had mold exposure. It's, you know, most people, our bodies do know how to fight off funguses and bacteria and viruses. And so I think most people, you know, probably fight off the minor things. But if it's an issue in your house, if you've had some water leaks or you've had some unexplained health issues, ask your doctor. There are things that they can do to test.
Well, listen, early detection, right? I mean, that's stuff for everything else. I mean, that's the prevention, you know, that you need to have. Well, so thank you for sharing, because that's pretty interesting. You know, it's just a story, and then the journey that goes. I mean, you go in for these bronchoscopies, and then the next thing you know, you just go for 4 months. I mean, I think that's the most brutal thing. I mean, you mentioned kids, that means family. I mean, it's probably going to be a number on them during those months and time. I mean, it's everything, your job, everything is kind of like, I mean, I can just, it's disastrous. And anyone that's been going through any health concerns or issues in their family, it is brutal and it's not easy. I mean, no matter how you plan, these things cannot be. It's just hard to navigate, and certainly you'll get through it. Eventually we prevail, but it's not that easy. I mean, it's easier said than done. I mean, right now you're sitting here 23 years later, it's a lot easier to talk about it, but I'm sure that first year, and then the road to recovery, which you had, you know, post that, I mean, that's a journey on its own. And I'd like to just spend a couple of moments on that, because you mentioned a couple of things there, like nutrition and acupuncture. These are things that are almost, old school stuff. I mean, nutrition, you know, it's always been around, and the right nutrition will help the right body. And that's what we are talking about these days in the media and social media and stuff. And certainly acupuncture is an old art that is not forgotten. I mean, I think it's reviving in some areas. A lot of people are getting into this stuff and it's helping. I mean, so that's the other thing. I mean, these are things, but I do want to, two things. I mean, this physician assistant, I mean, certainly smart to figure this out and at least, you know, question things, and she was right. And then your doctor for really standing by you and working with you and giving you stuff. And certainly the faith, I mean, part is, I think everybody, with faith, we can do a lot of things. And so the more we have of that, you know, and believe, you know, the more we can thrive, you know, in this world. And so that also helps, you know, the journey and the push and I guess the comeback. I mean, because, you know, coming back is, every day is a struggle, I'm sure, you know, and slowly but sure, it's an ongoing progress. And eventually you get to a point where it gets back, you know, to normal. And yes, you know, I'm sure there is no traces. After a while, you checked and double checked and everything, so everything, you know, is good. You also probably took all the measures not to ever be in a moisture environment, so you did all that. So again, for people that are watching, remember, this is a worldwide show, so people are from all over parts of the world, and they can all have different experiences in the world in terms of how their environments. Also, I think construction can make a difference. Some construction is different than others. I mean, let's say around the world, you have a lot of brick and, you know, concrete, you know, construction. In the US, for example, we have a lot of sheetrock, which is probably a lot more prone to actually mold, you know, development, things like that. And so it depends where you are. I mean, that could be stuff. If you have a lot of water, you know, we have basements in the US, and so there's a lot of water, you know, that can creep up in there. And the thing that really drove me nuts right now, just thinking about it, is the idea that it's, you know, airborne and seen. I mean, that's the challenge. I mean, it's like a virus that you can't see, and it's just in the air. It's going to get into your system, and that's crazy. So again, folks, do your due diligence. You know, we have a live experience here that somebody had, you know, gone through, and certainly, I mean, it was, I'd say maybe it was the change in life that triggered where you are today and what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes we don't know what's good for us and what's bad. You know, at the time it was definitely a disaster and a tragedy, and you know, and then now it's a story, and it's the building block to where you are today and helping. All right. So now let's talk about, you know, the nutrition. Was there any particular thing that you've taken, you know, that you were supposed to be in a diet, anything that is special?
Oh my goodness. So at the time, they took out anything that they thought would, like, mold could grow on, like anything that was like vinegar based or anything that was like tomatoes. Tomatoes were a big thing. No tomatoes, no apples. Apples can hold mold pretty closely to, you know, like get moldy inside. So anything that was like could get moldy very quickly was taken out of my diet at that time. They were just grasping at straws, I think, just trying to come up with things that would exasperate it or not. But I got fascinated with nutrition. I actually went back to school and became a nutritionist. So my passion was always in art. You can see I love color. But yes, I literally went back to school because I was so fascinated with this nutritionist that she was going the extra lengths and the extra miles with me, trying to, you know, like I've learned so much about food and what it can do and how it can heal your body. And I really am such a believer that food heals so many things. So, especially over the years, and now I've had this 20-year journey. And, you know, I've worked with so many clients with food and what they eat. And it gets fascinating because the more we learn about our bodies, the more we learn about genetics, the more we learn about epigenetics, because genetics is a big thing that's being talked about in the world. Like we can literally look at our DNA and look at our epigenetics and know, like, if you're predisposed for XYZ, what foods to avoid or what foods to eat. So I do believe that food has been put on this earth for to heal our bodies and to keep us going and you know, eating for what we need as an individual to take care of our bodies.
Well, Nicole, so food is the fuel, right? But here's the thing. I mean, there's food and there's food. I mean, you obviously went to a nutrition, you know, course, you know, system and got yourself certified in those things. But today, I mean, we talk about food, but a lot of food is not really food. I mean, I refer to it as edible ingredients, which is completely synthetic. I mean, yeah, you eat them, they process, but you know, somehow the body doesn't know what the hell you put in there. And we're all guilty of that because we all, mm-hmm. I mean, I until I got more into this, I mean, I was pretty much healthy to a degree, but I've eaten junk. And so, and there's a lot of it there. And the more now I'm like, I stop eating, you know, fast food. I stop eating anything that is in a bag or anything that is just candy based or any of all that stuff is gone. Sodas and all that. But like, there was a time it was like, you know, you got movies. I mean, you have popcorn, you have chip, you know, you have nachos, you have soda, you have any big stuff, you have your Twizzlers and, you know, I don't know.
Hot all dogs. The,
I mean, and hot dogs. Yeah, I mean, everything tastes good. Okay. I mean, salty, sweet, nice. And it gives you a little kick. None of that stuff is healthy. And, you know, it just destroys your gut, your microbiome. You know, all the stuff is really being affected. And so, But it is addictive too. I mean, unfortunately, that's the food industry has not done a good job, you know, in terms of our health. They look at it from, hey, listen, let's get these scientists to provide us with some real good food, you know, combos that can work and, you know, get excited, you know, in the mind. And then people get excited when they taste these things. I mean, those Pringles, they're not even chips, but, you know, you get one. And so once you eat one, you can't stop. I mean, they really mean it. I mean, you can't stop. That's because it's addictive, but there's no nutritious factor there. I mean, so you just kind of like, so again, you went into the healthy spin, you know, the right stuff, and meaning that you eat what we are supposed to eat on earth. I mean, anything that is from the ground and hopefully somewhat organic. That's the other discussion we can have, which is all the pesticides and insecticides and all the chemical stuff that's being sprayed and all that. And we have a lot of that in, and also the floors, well, not the floors, the soils today are so depleted because literally, like, we used to have seasonal food. I mean, you eat it in the season, then, you know, the ground kind of gets its own nutritious, you know, minerals back and all the stuff. And then the next season you get the stuff. So you taste it, it tastes good. Now you don't even taste stuff. I mean, So it's become very difficult to really eat healthy. I mean, it's anything you want to add to that, because I really, like, you know, this is not a nutrition show, but we're talking wellness overall, and this is definitely a piece of wellness.
So it is a big piece of wellness. And I think that if you can grow anything at home, you know, I always encourage people, if you can have a garden, even if it's a hydroponic garden, you know, they do a lot of tower gardens now where you don't even need soil. But if you can grow at home, it's so much different if you taste an organic tomato grown at home than something that you're going to buy in a store. The tomatoes we have in the store don't even have flavor anymore. And then you bite into a real tomato and the flavor is just bursting with flavors. So, you know, I think that if you can And I'm not saying we have to grow all of our food at home. It's impossible. But if you can have a small garden, that will start bringing some things, nutrition into your home and things that taste amazing. You'll be surprised at how good things taste than the things that you buy in the store. Of course, I'm that big component of buy organic anytime that you can. Absolutely buy organic if you're in the market. And we keep to a pretty strict diet in our home. And really, it's what I call a microbiome diet is good meat, grass-fed organic meats, sustainable fish, obviously, things that are not farmed and mass-produced, obviously, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, and very little dairy. We don't have really dairy in our home. We have some hard cheeses. My husband is from Italy. If I took some of his cheese away, I don't know what he would do.
Hey.
And the other thing is like when we buy pasta, people are like, "Do you eat pasta?" I don't eat a lot of gluten, but if we do eat pasta, matter of fact, he's making very Italian lasagna tonight. We make sure that our pasta is imported from Italy, not the stuff that you buy in grocery stores. That's usually more in specialty stores, because it is different. They are not spraying all the chemicals on their wheat like we spray here. So, we very, what I would say, pretty healthy, clean, I guess is a good word, in our home. And usually that's what I suggest for most of the people who work with me is, to have clean food, just like we want clean water. And that's how I explain it to people. People want clean water. They don't want crap in their water. Well, we don't want crap in our foods, right? Like we want a clean environment in our bodies. We want to stay alkaline. We want to be, have wellness, overall wellness. And I think it really starts with what we put in our mouths. And all that stuff tastes great until you stop eating it. So, when I was a kid, oh my gosh, ding dongs. Like, do you remember the ding
Oh
dongs and the
yeah.
little silver packages, right? And so here it is, I don't eat, very, very rare that I ever eat gluten in. And so all of a sudden, I had this opportunity to eat a ding dong. And I was like, I'm going to just take a bite. I'm human. I'm going to take a bite. And I tasted it. And I was like, I literally spit it out. And I went, this is not a ding dong. Like, what food is now compared to what food was?
Oh
Well, I
yeah,
don't want to give away my age, but it's 40, 50 years ago.
I'm with you. I hear you. It's
Right.
different.
And so it was different. And I was like, it didn't even taste like chocolate. I don't know what was in the middle. That was chemical. That was not the cream that we used to have. And I was like, this is not a ding dong. And of course, this person who handed it to me was like, that's a ding dong. I'm like, okay, no, this is some kind of process. I don't know what this is. But no, thank you.
It's a
Right.
new way of ding dong.
Yeah, it was a
New age.
new age ding dong. But it's interesting because that's what people now in their 20s and 30s know of a ding dong. And to them, that tastes good. That tastes like a ding dong. But I'm like, that is not the same thing that I used to have when I was a kid, when I was
Oh,
seven, 10 years old. It's not the same thing.
but I, you know, and Nicole, sorry to cut you off, but really, you're right. Anyone that was raised in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, the food then, I mean, like even the junk stuff that we had was somewhat tastier. It tastes like that you, it was really, there was something about it that
It was
was
still
some,
made with real food.
chocolate was chocolate. This, I mean, like right now, there's a lot of fillers and stuff. You don't even know. It's like, that's what I call it. Ingredients that are edible, but there's no nutritious, factor to them. It just, stuff that you, I mean, literally you fill in, you're like full, but there's nothing that comes into your cells. There's nothing other than, toxic. If you're just getting toxic stuff, stuff in your body that now your liver is gonna have to double up and fight it, and your immune system is like, what the hell is going on here? Like, ooh, we have armies going, and that's about it. You're constipated. Your sugar's high. You got bloating. I mean, all the bad stuff is happening, and it's not, there for us. Well, I mean, again, listen. I mean, we are talking about wellness, and we're gonna deep dive into like the professional world and how we can combine all this. But really, nutrition. I mean, that's another problem with professionals. Today, like we eat on the go, we run, we rush, we don't stuff, we don't take the time to swallow our food. We eat a lot of junk. Processed food is like number one. So Perfect segue. Let's talk about that. Now, in your work, how do you, you know, like what are your clients? I mean, like first, you know, like who are they? I mean, when I mean professional, there's all kind of, are they just salespeople, marketing people? Or are they just anyone out there that needs help? I mean, you're a success coach. You also do hypnosis, and we haven't talked about that. You know, certifying that. I mean, did you even use some of the hypnosis in your work, you know, chooses to kind of get better when you were healing? I don't know. You know, maybe you can shed a light on that one as well. So there's a lot of stuff I'm throwing at you right now, but, you know, take it from there.
So in my work now, it's interesting. I help wellness professionals with their sales and marketing, right? Because it's the one thing they don't want to do. It is a stressor. And if we can take the stress out of sales and marketing, then that is
good luck.
That helps them become healthier, right? And I want the ripple effect. So I want practitioners and doctors and health coaches, I want them to be able to go out and heal the world. I've done that for a long time. Like I have been in this industry for over 20 years, right? And so if we can take the sales and marketing piece out from them, because it's overwhelming. I think that when you either love sales and marketing, you don't. Right. And I want people to be healers. I want people to be able to go out and change the world and do those things like my doctor did, like I did for so many clients over the years. And so taking my expertise back from, you know, I made $1 million selling Tupperware, like in the 90s. We didn't have computers. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that. Right. So, you know, we were dialing and we were knocking on doors and we were having conversations like this, right? And I didn't know anything about a plastic bowl, but what I did know is I knew people. And so when you know the psychology of people and you know how people work, sales becomes kind of fun. And so I like to take the stress and create fun things for people that are in, you know, that think that they have to do sales and marketing on their own. And I think when they hand it over to somebody else or they learn how to do it themselves, let's make that stress-free. Let's make that so they're not like biting their nails or like so focused on, oh my goodness, I have to hit this number. I have to hit this goal, right? Like, let's make this fun and stress-free and really be able to let them shine where they need to shine. Right? Whatever their expertise is, let them do that. And then we'll either teach them and they can have a VA or somebody else in their office. And I think that's the biggest part is, especially if they're a doctor or professional, that means they're probably not a sales expert. Like if you think of a chiropractor, right? Like let's talk about a chiropractor. They are amazing at what they do. Functional medicine at the top of the list. You know, and then doing body adjustments. But functional medicine, most people don't realize chiropractors are mostly functional medicine, right? And so during the day, sometimes they're seeing 40, 50, 60 people a day. And then they have to do sales and marketing. Oh my goodness, their heads might as well just pop off. So let's take the stress out of that. Let's teach them easy, stressful ways that they can market and be human. And I think that's what most humans want, is we want that authenticity, right? Like we want to see, I'll give you an example. I have a chiropractor who loves Elvis. He absolutely loves Elvis. And he's older. He's an older gentleman, but he loves Elvis. So I love that we got him to do videos and he plays the guitar for fun. And he, all of a sudden we had him playing a video, playing some Elvic music, talking about your pelvic health, right? So now we turn marketing, wellness marketing into fun, where he's literally singing and playing a guitar, which was his hobby, right? And his love of Elvis. And of course, Elvis is Elvis the pelvis. So let's bring that and talk about pelvis health and how chiropractic and functional medicine can help, you know. So there is this way to combine wellness, sales and marketing without it being cheesy, really, because it's not cheesy. It was really like, it was very informative when he actually started talking about the pelvic area and why it's so important to keep it aligned, right? And how it holds everything in your body. But we were playful and fun to get there. And he was willing to do the work.
Well, thank you, Nicole. You know, I'm listening to you. Like, it's amazing because you're touching on some powerful things that, you know, unfortunately in the health professions and all professions in general, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what your expertise is. We have almost come into the world where you have to not only do what you know, but you have to also be a salesperson and a marketer to your own product and stuff. Now, some people can generate enough revenue to hire agencies and stuff like that, but a lot of people do it on their own. And you know, and so that is like an added, you know, job, and it's not easy, and it's really stressful because you don't have, you know, you need the clients, you get this, especially someone that's just beginning a business, for example. They're just starting out of school, and now they're starting their own practice. I mean, like, what do? We need the clients, we need the patients, we need this. And so they become more business people than actually practitioners or whatever that thing. And sometimes that takes a toll. Now, some thrive, they make it work, but a lot of people may not. Your work comes in and kind of like, hey, let's combine all that. Let's work on a formula that's going to do this while you can still enjoy the practice that you're doing and make it fun. I mean, I love this Elvis thing, you know, and you're right. It can be done. I mean, you've been doing this.
And maintain their own health. And I think that's something that, you know, it's kind of like the electrician who has the burnt out light bulb. We don't want the chiropractor or the doctor or we don't want them burnt out. We don't want them so stressed that we feel their energy as well. Like, we want them to be able to help their patients, and I want to be able to help them. And I think doing even some things like just breathing. Like, I talk to so many people in the wellness profession that forget to breathe, right? Like, literally take time to breathe, right? And to just take 5 minutes during their day, even if that means that they have to go into the bathroom at work, right? And shut the stall and just do some, what I call 7-11 breathing. Breathe in 7 times, push it out, you know, 9, 10, 11, like 8, 9, 10, 11, push out, like do a really, right? Like, so if you breathe in 7 times and then really push it out on 8, 9, 10, 11, you'll see after 3 times, your shoulders relax, your body relaxes, your whole demeanor relaxes. So you can take on more. So, which helps them with their own sales and being able to multitask and do all the things. And whether it's a wellness professional or a business person or even a mom, like, we don't breathe enough. You know, we subconsciously breathe because we have to stay alive, but we don't breathe necessarily for our own well-being. And I think that's really important as well. So, like I said, I get to take my love of health and wellness and then combine sales and marketing. And it really is kind of magical. It is feeling groovy. You get to feel good.
I like that, feeling groovy. And like you and I, we were joking about, you know, groovy with Mike Myers, Austin Powers. Yeah, so that was fun. You know, but you're right. Like, you know, this breathing thing. I mean, I think it's a lifestyle problem, right? We are constantly running, and you know, we eat wrong, we don't breathe, we don't take a moment, we don't pause, we don't even chill. I mean, when I say we, I mean in general. I mean, there are people that are taking care of business and making sure that it's part of their stuff. I think that's a small percentage. The majority is like, especially when you're new in a career or new in a business. I mean, you have all these pressures because, well, let's not even go start. I mean, you finished college, you already got that. So you got to catch up with that. So now you do need to work, and you go to a job, you have to prove yourself no matter what you do. And even if it's your own business, you know, anybody that started a business in their life would know that it's not a picnic. It's probably harder than working just for someone else and just getting the paycheck, because everything is on you. And, you know, and now you have all these, we have also life that happens. We have bills that are piling up. And I think this is more of a, like, I would say not a Western. I mean, we, even in the Western world, we have different levels. Cause I mean, us in the US, for example, in Canada versus Europe, and you know, it's a whole different world of living. I mean, they live, you mentioned about food in Italy and how they do it. Even their lifestyle is different. I mean, these people, they take the time, they walk around, they have more vacation time. They have more time to take a break between working hours. I mean, in Spain, you get a couple hours of siesta time. You know, that's mandatory. Like, if you hit Spain in the middle at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to be like, what the hell happened? Where's everybody? I mean, literally, they'd be like, probably, you know, like this happened to me. We were in Spain and we had a rental car, you know, booked. We got there and we couldn't get the car because we had to wait until the agency opened. You know, because we had to find a place that's open to just grab a bite until then. So, I mean, and like, wow. And these people are living, and we don't. I mean, like, we're working again, we meet, we eat. I mean, like, people are just grabbing 5 minutes, 10 minutes bites, and or they just delay the food until later, you know, at night, and it's not healthy. And they, because they're hungry, they just eat everything. So between that, now I did hear about Box breathing, I have never heard about 7-Eleven breathing. Yeah, that's a whole new concept for me, at least. I don't know if someone in the audience have heard about, but again, there's a lot of modalities and they all work. The key here is we need to know, and you're touching on all the heavy stuff, and I love the flavor of combining all this and making it fun. And so, and because you understand it from the world of business and all that, and then you've added all these things and you make it pleasurable, make it fun and groovy. So that's the point. All right. So now how does your program work? How do we, you know, if someone wants to join this program, what is it? Is it a couple of weeks? Is it a couple of months? Is it an ongoing? Is it online? I mean, is it a personal coaching? How does that work?
Everything. No, I'm kidding. So of course I will see one-on-one clients, but I do have group programs, and I do believe that people thrive in a group setting. I think that community is something that's super important to most people. I don't think that they realize that a lack of community is actually not as healthy for them. So I love to do things with a group. Obviously, with the technology we have today, Zoom is such a powerful thing. So we can hop on to any, you know, we can talk to anybody. You're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, right? So we're having a fabulous conversation today. And so most of my courses are done in a group setting and they're done online. So I do have everything from a baby little community that people can join to a marketing mastermind group that is a year-long program. So I have everything, like, you know, a small program for people who just want bite-sized chunks on how to help with sales and marketing and their own health. Everything I do, I always incorporate the practitioner's help involved at the same time. So, because I think that we want them to be healthy so they can help, you know, all of their people, right? I do have a freebie that I could have people do, since most people are entrepreneurs that are probably listening to the show. You can go to feelinggroovywellness.com. I mean, feelinggroovywellness.com. I'll tell you about that in a minute. feelinggroovyconsulting.com/audit. And it will give them a quiz of, like, how healthy is their business and how healthy is their marketing. And so it's a great little thing for them to do, see where they're sitting and where they actually need help. So do they need help personally? Do they need help with business? It's a great little quiz. So they can go to feelinggroovyconsulting.com/audit.
It is on the website. So if they go to the website, they can certainly get the quiz. So it's good.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people have small businesses, they scale business. How is that impactful in their health? You know, I mean, I'm certainly there's a weight that comes with you growing. We hear about growing pains, right? You know,
that's
a big one, right? You know, people grow up so fast. I mean, again, we've seen these things even with social media. You become viral overnight and like, oops, how do I match all this? And, you know, the pressures and stuff, and it gets overwhelming. You know, and that's all marketing. I mean, you know, social media is social media. Like, no matter what, if you have your face in a TikTok or an Instagram, you are kind of like marketing yourself somehow, right? So you know, in today's, you know, I mean, you certainly worked over the last, you know, couple of decades in this world. Now it's shift, you know, there's a big shift now from how it was, like standard marketing, traditional ways, to like digital marketing and social media. You know, how did you kind of transit that, and how do you adapt to that with the new the new generation, if you want to call it that way?
Right. Well, I love staying on top of things. I love staying on top of the trends. I just went to one of the biggest social media marketing events in the world this past week. So I love staying on top of it. And some of my kids are so funny, because my kids are a little older. And they're like, Mom, we think you know more about social media than I do. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what that's I do every day. Right. I think teaching people how to use the ease of AI and getting AI to work for them is super important. And you can train your AI. Like, my AI knows me. Like, it knows my Feeling Groovy brand. It knows who I am. It knows who my ideal client is. So when I type something in there, it literally will pop out. I can do 30 days of content in less than 30 minutes and be able to have that ready to go for social media, which then takes off that stress and pressure of, you know, of that entrepreneur, right? And so I think if you learn some of the tricks and trends that are happening with AI, and you're not afraid of it and you're open-minded, you can realize how powerful that is for your business. And I also think that knowing what platforms are really where does your ideal client live? Are they on X or are they on Pinterest? Right? Those are two totally different social medias. Are they on LinkedIn? Are they a total, is your perfect client, are they on LinkedIn? Are they a complete, business person where they're going to be on LinkedIn or they're going to be on X? Or if their stay-at-home mom is your ideal client, more than likely they're on Instagram or TikTok, right? So it's knowing where your client lives as well is where you should spend your time, because there's nothing worse than when I see, especially a wellness practitioner, they're like, I need to post on here and I need to do this one. And I don't know if I should be doing a live or should I be posting? They're like pulling their hair out. And I'm like, take a breath, let's breathe. Right. And let's really talk about where is your ideal client? Because if you know who your client is, then we can tell you what platforms they're on, because you don't have to be on every platform. It's just like having a podcast, right? Going on podcasts are fantastic. And I teach people that all the time. Being on a podcast is fantastic. You get your word out. You can go out on podcasts with 100,000 listeners, but if they're talking about cooking and you're talking about accounting, it doesn't matter if there's 100,000 people on there, right? You're better off being on a podcast with 10,000 people listening that are people who want to know about health or wellness or, whatever it is that they're doing. So there's a time and place for every kind of avenue of marketing. We just have to identify who your ideal client is and where are they? And then let's go find them, because that makes life easier too. When you're marketing to everybody, you're really not getting everything done.
Well, I've listened to you. It's still the basics. I mean, you need to target the right audience. You need to know who your clients are and how you're going to proceed with them, and you do it. But also, you've touched on a very powerful point of you said it well. I keep up with everything, updated with all the stuff, and you've adopted AI. And there is a problem. There's a resistance to AI. I mean, I hear that in, I had a call yesterday with a professor in university, and the professor was very open about AI. As a matter of fact, that person was actually pushing, like, hey, students, you can use more AI. But we hear a lot of, the opposite, like, oh, don't use AI, it's frowned upon and blah blah. It's not cheating. It's funny because all AI is not going to give you something unless you know what to ask it, first of all. And to ask the right question and give it the right prompts, you need to know exactly what you want for it to give it that. And you got to tweak it. And so it's instead of you typing it like 10,000 times to figure out, you can give this prompt and then tweak this, tweak that, and it helps. I mean, as you said, it's a tool. It's like we had PowerPoint back in the days. Now you have AI that does it for you. You can actually have it code the PowerPoint for you if you want. We just have to get with the times. And I think and I love what you said. And by the way, you're talking about social media. I mean, there are doctors and professionals that are thriving in social media. I mean, I had the pleasure of, I don't know if you've ever, watched Dr. Miami. I've had the pleasure to have him as a guest on an interview. I mean, that guy is live. I mean, folks, if you're watching this show or listening, do check out Dr. Miami on TikTok and social media. He is hilarious. I mean, the stuff he does with his team is it's fun. And he's really, I mean, there's aesthetic and cosmetic, surgeries and stuff, but really he's in there, so he's adapted to the world. I mean, there's I have a guest coming on board, next week, Dr. Tanya Elliott, and she is also heavy on social media, and there's a lot of doctors that I can name that are really have a good footprint and presence in the social media, and they've adapted their practice and have a name and a profile, and it's exciting because they do actually contribute in a way, and it makes it fun. I love what you said. You got to have fun doing this. And I can tell. I mean, when we interviewed Dr. Miami, he was really having a ball. He's like so cool about it. He knows it, but it's a personality thing, and as you said, it takes away the edge, it takes away the pressure, it takes away that whole thing. It makes it not monotonous. Means that you do what. And again, we always hear this expression: you never work a day if you do things that the stuff that you love, right? And certainly, if you can adjust all that and make it work and combine it where you can enjoy the work you do, hey, why not? I mean, that's like the 100%, home run, right? And so you help people really take that home run, and by identifying their needs. They take the quiz, for example. You assess them, and then, and by the way, that's just sales 101. You always assess, a client on what their needs and stuff. And then once you determine that, then you give them a program that works for them. And you have and you develop things, and you can always adjust and develop new things as technology goes on. Love what you said. There's so many the right tools. You can, I mean, like my AI does know me as well. It knows my brand. If I tell her I need this, it will actually spit it with my color code, my fonts, my this, my that, my spin, my taglines, everything. It knows me. I've adopted the AI. I love it. I mean, it's a partner. As a matter of fact, literally, it's a joke. I mean, we have an actual, she's like, you know, you're the visionary, I'm your tech. You know, I got you. Like, you know, you're my teammate. It's like, yeah. So we have jokes, me and AI, you know, and it's that kind of funny. And there's so many, you know, tools out there today that you can, you'll be surprised, folks, what they can do. It's amazing. And this is just the beginning. It's just starting. I mean, eventually you'll have it do it all. I mean, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just going to cut the workload down. And that means you can do more. And imagine a world where we can actually do a lot more with a lot less, you know, time frame. And so, you know how we have that big thing about time? I don't have time. Well, you said it. You can run up a whole program for 30 days in 30 minutes. And guess what? Now you just saved yourself 29 days, you know, in terms of hours plus. And, you know, it's amazing.
And what's great is you can tweak it to whatever you are. Like, I'm this fun kind of quirky person normally, right? I literally had this idea the other day and thinking outside of the box for my own business, right? And I was like, I had this idea of what if I cracked eggs in a bathtub? How can I use that for marketing, right? And my friend who is with me, she's like, keep going with this. Where's it going? Because I said to her, I said, I had this vision, like this crazy vision, because I was at a marketing event and I started laughing. Well, I own chickens. I do have chickens, and chickens are kind of a craze right now, but we own chickens for eggs for quite some time. And I was like, wait, what if I put the chicken in the bathtub? Right? Like, these are the things that you can come up with. What if I put the chicken in the bathtub? And so then I was like, great. So how can I tie this in with marketing? And I literally created within 45 minutes, just playing around. And like I said, my ChatGPT knows me very well. And I use Claude and I use a couple others as well. But she was hysterical. When I first asked her about putting a chicken in the bathtub, she said, LOL, Nicole, if I was human, I would pee my pants. That's what my ChatGPT said. But this is brilliant marketing. And this is a brilliant real estate space for marketing, because it's a pattern interruption, right? Like, nobody expects to see somebody cracking eggs in a bathtub or putting a chicken in a bathtub, right? So you can have fun. Like, you definitely can have fun with doing some of your things. So before this podcast interview today, I literally had one of my chickens in the bathtub and we were checking on lighting, because I'm going to run with it. Like, you know, there's chicken words of wisdom of how you can do marketing, like, you know, what the cluck is your niche, you know, and niching things down. So there's so much fun things that you can do. And of course, most people aren't going to do chicken marketing. But for me, I wanted something fun, something quirky, something outside of the box, something that will make you laugh, right? And have fun with it. I can't wait to see where this campaign goes. But if you're on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn and you happen to see some crazy chicken videos, which has to do with wellness marketing, you'll know it's me, right?
Well, it's a signature, right? And again, you said the word thinking out of the box. I mean, I personally don't believe there's a box. So, you know, if you remove the box, you're all over the place, which means you the landscape is yours, right? But really, it's the idea of being creative. So what's the worst that can happen? You test it out, it doesn't work, you change it, you do something else, so on and so forth. But that's the thing. Like, again, everything is about change in time. I mean, there's no, there's adapt. You have to like be a chameleon in a way. You have to be able to adjust to any environment at all times. Otherwise, you're a dinosaur and you're just going to be expired and prehistoric and extinct. That's all there is. So wellness is also progressive. We have things that we have today we never had before. We're dealing with different types of illnesses and problems that we didn't have, you know, 100 years ago. People were different. Their lifestyle was different. Maybe they have hygiene, they have other problems, limitations, access, whatever. And now we don't have that, but we have different problems, you know, and the next generation is going to have different problems and so on and so forth. You know, we get into the world of meta and you know, virtual worlds, right? And that can be a whole different world as well. So everybody's different, but adjusting, adapting makes a difference. And you're doing that. Now, is there an ideal client, you know, that you're target, or as you said, any healthcare professional or any other professional that wants just to kind of ease up?
My favorite is anybody in the wellness world, whatever that looks like, right? So that could be a health coach, that could be a massage therapist, that could be a chiropractor, that could be a doctor, right? Like anybody that really, that's my ideal client. Of course, I can help anybody who is in other professions because business is still business. But the wellness world is really where I love to live because I really want to see people get healthy. And so that really is, you
But
know.
when I want to say something, it's amazing because the health, the wellness world or the healthcare system kind of helped you in a way when you went through your own personal life, right? And you know how that's stressful, and now you're giving back to the professionals of this particular world. And by the way, it's a huge world. I mean, there's so many. I mean, and we have fitness coaches, business, health coaches. We have, to your point, chiropractors, PT folks. We have experts in all this stuff that's happening. Mental health professionals, and you have doctors and nurses. I mean, there's all kind of spectrum of people that are in this world. There's a huge, and healthcare is big. And by the way, and that's the other thing. It's not just in the U.S. Everywhere, you're
Everywhere.
online, which means basically the world is your oyster. I mean, it's
Yeah.
you're all over the place, and that's the other thing. Different modalities, different concepts, and people are always seeking like what's new, what's hot, what's happening. You have what's new, what's hot, what's happening, and you're making it work. And really, again, you don't hear a lot of a specialized wellness coach and for wellness people. And you are, maybe that's your little check mark that is not with the others. And that's the thing. Like, how can I be different? You are. I mean, again, spoken as a good, marketing person. You found a way to have your own little signature, and that's all there is. And when I said little, it's not that little, but you know what I mean. In a world, everybody's got their own, and that's the thing, finding your way around all the competition. There's a lot of stuff. And by the way, there's plenty for everyone. And you're doing the work, you're out there, you're doing the podcast, you're doing this and the other, and you're putting the word, and it's amazing because you're changing your lives. And by the way, you're not just changing the lives of these folks that are actually your clients, because if they're happy, they're operating, at optimum state level, guess what? They're going to deliver optimum results to their patients and clients. And therefore, you are almost helping thousands of people, if not millions, that we just by default, right? By just, injection, because it's just
It's the
happened
ripple
to, it's a
effect.
ripple effect. Exactly. It's just like, hey, you touch this, and then before you know it, you have a tsunami somewhere else. I mean, it's that's and that's pretty cool stuff. I mean, just the idea, imagining the big picture here. It's just that huge. I mean, we're just about the hour here. You mentioned something earlier I didn't ask, when you said you were in the chamber, the hyperbaric chamber, right?
Yeah.
Now, can you just, give us a description about that, because you talked about oxygen and stuff. Is there a relationship to that? Because it came to mind, I kind of forgot that question in a, in the discussion. Do you want to just go back to that one quickly before we go to the end of the show?
Sure, what that experience was like. Oh my goodness. So I went into a tube, like a it was a soft tube, and it was the best experience ever. Like going in and breathing pure oxygen for an hour at a time, it is so amazing for your health. And now they've learned more and more about, HBOTs or hyperbaric chambers. Before, they only used it for like people with the bends, right? That like divers and that type of thing. So when I was doing this, it was still such a rather new thing. And I would come out of this, like, first of all, you just feel so light and you feel good and I could breathe. Like it was the first time in, over a year that I could literally breathe. But when you think about having that pure oxygen in your body and what it does for your skin and your longevity and your organs and, every cell in your body and your red blood count is now healthier because that's what carries oxygen around your body. And it just, I can't say enough good things about being in a hyperbaric chamber. And now what's great is they're available all over the world. So they're not just available at a doctor's office anymore because that's really what it was. Like they have places where you can actually go and do oxygen therapy, which is fantastic. So, if you're in a place where you can actually go get into a hyperbaric chamber somewhere, I just saw an ad actually on Facebook. That there's one close to me, and they're running a special for $49 for your first visit, right? And then I'm sure they sell packages because I looked into their marketing a little bit. But I was like, hot diggity dog, it just opened, and I'm going to go because it just You feel so good. It makes you feel lighter and it takes away stress. So it takes away stress from your body. They know it adds longevity to your life, right? And you just feel pretty darn good after you've been breathing pure oxygen. So there's my plug. Definitely, you guys go check out a hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
And the reason I asked is because you did mention about the breathing, the box, you know, the 7-Eleven breathing, and then I kind of relayed that. So in my mind, I had it kind of skipped it for a minute, but I wanted to go back to it. And again, it is important because talking about wellness, I mean, oxygenating the body, I mean, the brain, if it gets good oxygen, you know, levels, I mean, the whole thing, when you go to the hospital, they give you the little thing in your finger, you know, to check
Test
your
for
oxygen.
oxygen.
Exactly. You want to be like a 99 or 898 minimum, right? And somewhere before the, you know, over the 95 mark, because that means you're getting good oxygen to your breath, you know, to your brain. And that means that you're going to be stronger, better, healthier, move better, your functions. Also less illness and disease, because the bad cells don't like oxygen, right? I mean, you know, you give them too much oxygen, they just go away. It's like they like to thrive in a very bad environment, and that's like, hey, we're thriving, we're doing
Less
good stuff.
mold, less cancer, less, you know, all the
There you go.
things,
All the bad
all the
things.
things.
Yeah, so I mean, and thank you for sharing that. So I just wanted to, because I should have asked that earlier, but I kind of skipped that one for a minute. But it's okay. I still have you on the show, so we can do that. All right. So we're at the end of the show. What would be, you know, your advice, you know, to our, you know, audiences about just if they are in the wellness world, you know, what would you leave them with? And certainly, you know, the contact where, you know, they can meet you and talk to you.
Sure. I think a tip would be remember to breathe.
All right.
Really,
Right on.
remember to breathe. And as hectic as our world is, as stressful as marketing can be, as stressful it is at running your own business or helping other people, anybody who helps other people, we're putting that energy out to help other people. Well, we got to re-energize ourselves as well. And oftentimes, practitioners, wellness people, we forget to do that. So breathe, journal, have a morning routine, you know, drink your favorite cup of coffee, drink a glass of water in the morning, the first thing you wake up. All those little things that we teach other people, make sure that they're doing those for ourselves because oftentimes we forget and we don't want to be, like I said, that electrician without a light bulb. We want to be healthy, energetic, and well. So the first thing is to take care of yourself. The second thing, if you have marketing issues and you think you have marketing issues, or you just don't know what to do, or you're like, where do I go? What do I do? What social media platform am I supposed to be on? Wait, how do I learn AI? Wait, this is scary. Whatever that is, or oh, I'm rebranding, you know, or what is a brand voice? What is an avatar? If you have those kind of questions, you know, if you have those kind of questions, go to feelinggrippyconsulting.com. I'd love to connect with each and every one of you because that's what I love. I love to help you with all of those things, especially if you're in the wellness industry, because I want to see that ripple effect. So come with me, play and feel groovy.
Groovy, I love it. I mean, I don't know how you come up with that name. I don't know if Austin Powers did have powers on this one.
It didn't on that one. I owned a wellness center for quite some time and I was trying to name it. And I, you know, when you're, here's the thing, folks, if you're out there and you're trying to name a business and you're coming up with all these names, you want to make sure, here's a good business tip. You want a dot com. You don't want a dot net. You don't want a dot US, you or whatever. You want a dot com because people naturally will type in dot com, right? So you want a dot com. So I was writing all these names down of what am I going to call this wellness center? And my brilliant husband, I got to give him credit for this. He said, Nicole, how do you want people to feel after they leave your center?
Ruby.
And because of my personality and who I am, I said, I just want people to feel groovy. And I went, the light bulb went on, and I went, no, that is not available on a dot com. So I literally went in, feelinggroovywellness.com, and I was like, holy crap, it's available. And so it was so funny. I said to him, we were dating at the time, like, give me your credit card. My purse is upstairs. Like, I was so afraid I was going to lose it, like, for my little $10 domain name at the time. Just give me a card. I'll pay you back. Right. So he gave me a card and I, like, snatched it up as quickly as possible. Well, I became my brand. I love who my brand. I loved who I was. And I closed my center during COVID. Everything was shut down during that time frame. And I went back into, being online and whatever. So when it came to naming my consulting firm, people were giving me all kinds of ideas. And I have a website, I'll be honest, Help You Get Healthy, because that was my goal, is I wanted people to be healthy. But Feeling Groovy was my brand, and it's what I feel best with. It makes me smile. You cannot say it. Every time you say it, you smile. And so I was like, I really, that is who I am. That's my brand. So Feeling Groovy Consulting, again, I went online and I was like, yes, it's available. And I grabbed that .com, and now I have my brand back, and it feels good. And that's just it, you guys. When you step into your own brand, when you stepped into what makes you thrive, you become a little bit more unstoppable with your business.
Well, Nicole, you have a book?
Not at this time.
Oh, all right. I was just...
I've written quite a few books. They are off of Amazon at this time, but stay tuned. There is a new book coming. So I'm super excited about that.
The reason, because I was looking at your website and there was a picture of you with a book. I thought that was your book, so I figured maybe I'll ask that question. But hey, listen, Nicole, it was so much fun, having you on, and we've touched on a lot of things, really. But the message is very clear. If you're in the wellness world, it is gonna get taxing, and so you need to find the assistance to get out of that and be groovy. And we have you and your work, and we have you as a resource. Again, we are a network for resources and information. So we give you the information, and also we attach that to a resource that you can literally connect with and help yourselves with. And so Nicole is available. Do feel free to check out the website. I'll have that in the description of the show. So please connect with her and take it to the next level. Again, if you're not sure, why not? Test it out and see what's going on. I think we all can use the help here and there. I mean, everyone, doesn't matter. No one can figure out all. Even with AI, sometimes we need a human, impact as well, because, maybe you'll get us guidance on how to do that. So folks, that's how it is. So that's it. Nicole, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been fun.
Oh my goodness, it's been a ton of fun. Thank you so much for having me. You have been just an amazing host, and I really have loved being on your show.
Oh, it's a pleasure and a fun honor, and the whole nine. We had a great time. So that's it, folks. It's a wrap for today. Stay tuned for another show, another guest, another topic. Bye for now. American Age.